this to my life, and it'll apply to your life as well. So I've entitled the message this morning, Release the Gift of God Within You. Release the Gift of God Within You. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. You know, being a graduate means you've completed a certain stage in life, right? And you're ready for that next step in life, whether it is college, whether it is a career, or life in general. As a father and as a pastor, it is my desire for each person to discover their God-given purpose and passion in life, so they can live life to the fullest. That's one of the things I'm kind of passionate about. I desire that people find how God's wired them and so that they can do what God has called them to do. That's my prayer for my children. That is my prayer for each person that comes to know Christ here at Radiant Springs Church. And it's my prayer for these graduates that we are honoring today. There are maybe several passages that we could look at, but I want us just to look specifically at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Timothy was a young pastor, and he had a godly upbringing. His grandmother and his mother raised him up to fear God. And then his life crossed paths with Paul, and Paul would kind of take him under his wing and mentor him, and he would be like a spiritual son to Paul, all right? And so both Timothy and Titus would pastor churches that Paul had started in Ephesus, Corinth, and Philippi, and Thessalonica, places like that. So as he writes 2 Timothy, we're not sure where Timothy is at, but we believe he's possibly in the city of Ephesus. So in these verses, I believe, is a message for our graduates, but also for everyone listening. So let's dive in together. Before we do, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is able to speak life into us, dear God. We thank you that it is the living word of God. And so, Father, in these moments, we pray that you would take your word, apply it to our hearts, and we ask it in your holy name. Amen. All right, starting in verse 3 through 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as day and night, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. So he's talking about Timothy's faith here. He has a sincere faith. It's genuine, it's pure, it's sincere, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I am persuaded lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. A great picture there, and we'll come back to that. Which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So when Paul laid his hands on Timothy, he knew that the gift of God was in him, but also a very specific gift to pastor. Okay? And so it's a reference to that. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, or some say fearful, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Some translations say self-control or a sound mind. So let's look at this first area here, first section, first point. Timothy had a faith that had been passed on to him, right? And Paul then poured into his life. There was a faith there. Paul describes it as a sincere faith. But it seems like that faith was waning. It was maybe because of the challenges that Timothy was facing, maybe because of his temperament, seemed to be a little bit shy, maybe a little bit timid. Because of some of these things that he was facing, that sincere faith was being overshadowed. Maybe it was even, I wouldn't say dying, but maybe it was becoming a little more dormant than it should be. Now Timothy is ministering as a pastor, possibly in Ephesus, and Paul is in Rome. And so there's this disconnect. They're writing back and forth, but it wasn't like they could get on their iPhones and communicate. They didn't have email. They didn't even have the U.S. Postal Service like we do today. Instead of taking days to get a letter, it could take weeks or months before they could correspond and write letters back and forth. So Timothy is on his own to some degree, and his faith is suffering. It's struggling a little bit with what he is dealing with. And so Paul encourages them to fan into flame the gift of God, that those coals that are there, the sincere faith that was there, but fan it into flame until it took fire and became a flame, a burning flame. The first thing that I wanted to, if you're taking notes here, to write down, if you have your bulletin there, whether you're a graduate or follower of Christ, whether you're a new believer, old believer, we all must maintain our spiritual fire. So the first principle here is to stoke your spiritual passion for God. Stoke your spiritual passion for God. A lot of you listening here would consider me your pastor, all right? And one of my delights is exploring the Word of God with you as we're doing here today together. But at the end of the day, the health of your spiritual passion rests with you. Not with me. I'm the pastor. But ultimately, your spiritual passion rests solely upon you. In the season of COVID-19, I think our faith has all been tested. And maybe we don't have some of the resources that we had when we were coming to church, and things have changed. And there are resources there, but still we have to take the initiative to stoke those embers, that faith that is there within our life, to stir up that passion. Now, we've all probably observed in a fire or been around a fire ring, a campfire type of setting. And, you know, the fire can be blazing at 1 minute, and over time, that fire kind of dwindles down. And so sometimes we'll take a branch or something, we stir those embers, right? And all of a sudden, those coals get bright red again. Sometimes they burst into a flame. Sometimes we add more sticks on the fire. But we have to stoke that fire. We have to maintain that fire for that passion, for that fire to continue. The same is true in our spiritual life. We have to fan that flame. We have to stoke those embers. We have to maintain that within our own life. Paul's words to Timothy is to fan into flame the gift of God that's within you, Timothy. Fires need maintaining, or they die in time. So, what are some things that we can do practically? How can we maintain our spiritual passion for God? Well, I got three things listed here. If you want to write them as sub-notes, you can, sub-points. We need the breath of God's Holy Spirit to breathe upon us. You know, when you have a campfire and you have the coals and you breathe upon them, all of a sudden they begin to glow, right? And sometimes, then the fire bursts forth again. We need the breath of God's Holy Spirit to breathe upon us. You know, we have no spiritual life if we don't have God's Holy Spirit in us and working in our lives. And as we commune with God through prayer and His Spirit, He breathes upon us. He breathes life into our spirit, okay? And so that is one way we maintain the fire. The second way, we need to get into God's Word. That is fuel for the fire. We need to put something on that fire. Not only do we need the breath of God's Holy Spirit, but we need to put some more logs on the fire. We need to get into His Word. We need to study His Word. And then the Holy Spirit makes that come alive. That's fuel for the fire. If we're not in God's Word, we're not feeding our heart and our soul, and it's going to die. Lastly, we need godly people in our life that help to stir up our faith, all right? We need people that provide support, accountability, and encouragement in our life and hold us accountable. And, you know, if we get out of line, that in a loving way, they can say, hey, what's up, man? Or if we're down, that they pry into our life enough to find out how they can pray for us and minister to us. We need those people in our life, okay? Those are ways that we can maintain and stoke that spiritual passion within our life. Timothy had a faith, but his spiritual fire was dying down, and he needed to stoke that fire, let the breath of God's Holy Spirit breathe upon it so that it would burst forth into a flame again. This is what General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said. He said, "The tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on your heart." And I just think those are good words, that he understood that we all have to maintain our own spiritual passion for God and keep that fire of God burning brightly for him. Amen. Stoke that spiritual passion for God. Number two, Paul goes on then to say, to fan into flame the gift of God. And then he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, all right, of timidity, of even cowardness, okay, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So I want to break down those three things. He's talking about God's Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that he's placed within us at the moment of salvation. And so God's Spirit doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of three different things that I want us to dive in deeper into. And it's apparent that Timothy is dealing with fear. You know, and he's not alone. Each of us deals with that fear. Fear in different ways, right? Maybe daily, maybe weekly. Fear will stop you in your tracks. Whether it is the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown. People are dealing with that right now. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day, right, with this virus thing. There's fear there, right? Fear of what others may think. Fear of adversity. Fear of rejection. Fear hits us in a lot of different ways, and if it can totally stop our faith, it can stop what we want to do for God, it can stop what God calls us to do in life. And so we have to be able to tackle fear, tackle it head on, and in the power of God. So whenever we enter a new stage in life, we must look fear in the eyes and hit it head on. God has not left us helpless, though. He has given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us confront fear in three different ways. So the first of all, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power. So the Holy Spirit empowers us. And so the second principle we want to catch and write down in your notes is blaze ahead in God's supernatural power. Blaze ahead in God's supernatural power. So the Greek word there is didymus, okay, which is used extensively in the book of Acts, all right? And it talks about you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. So that power that we need to live a godly life, to do his will, even in the face of fear. This power allowed the disciples to be bold and courageous even in the midst of religious persecution. Their life was threatened. They were persecuted. And yet, even in the midst of that, they had a power to minister and to do what God had called them to do. You know what? God can give us that same power. He's placed his spirit within us. It's not a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power. Power to do what God has called us to do, to live a life that he's called us to live. Fear will threaten your dreams, your plans, God's will for your life. You can either succumb to its fate or be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. I believe each of these graduates has the potential to be a great leader. Great leaders learn to confront fear to achieve God's best for their life. Through prayer and communion with God, we can be empowered with boldness to live life, fulfill dreams, and to do God's will. You know, Gideon is one of the judges mentioned in the book of Judges. Six of them are mentioned, and they go through this cycle where they'd be serving God, and then they would fall into sin, and so then they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge. So you have Deborah, you have Samson, and you have Gideon is one of them, and others. Gideon is just kind of a unique story in that he wasn't probably the best pick to do the job, but God's power was enough. And with 300 men, he conquered a vast army, right? And he leads this army to conquer them. But it wasn't just Gideon. It was God working behind the scenes. The enemy turned on each other and they totally wiped themselves out. But God had to put his spirit upon Gideon. As the Holy Spirit clothed Gideon, he had the power to do what God had called him to do. And when God finds him, he's threshing grain in a wine press because he doesn't want to be found out by his enemy. And he was the least of his tribe. He was a no-name guy. But God raised him up to do his will. And it's not a story about Gideon. It's a story about God's power to empower believers to do God's will. God's same power is available to us today. As Gary mentioned in reading Ephesians, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us today and is at work in our lives. So be empowered. Blaze ahead in God's supernatural power for your life. Let it transform your life. Let it lean on that Do all that you can do, but don't forget that God has given you His Holy Spirit to empower you to carry out His will, whatever shape or form that means for your life. Amen? All right, let's look at the third point. It says, Paul says, he's going to give us a spirit of power and then of love. So let's look at that word love. The word here in the Greek is agape. So there's a couple different types of love mentioned within Scripture. Agape is known as God's love. It's unconditional love. It's not based upon what I've done, my accomplishments, my failures, what I think about myself. It's based upon how God sees me, and it's based upon that He loves me. Regardless of whatever I do or don't do, He loves me, and He loves you. And the Spirit that God has given us, one, empowers us, but secondly, it helps us to understand the God that love that God has for His saints, for His people. He loves you. Yes, you. He loves you with an unconditional love. And I don't think we totally understand or even grasp that. And that's the Holy Spirit's role, to help us to grasp that truth, that principle of God's love. Why is love so important? 1 John 4:18. This is what that has to say. It says, "For there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear." Perfect love drives out all fear. Why is love so important? Because it removes the issue of fear within our lives. It dissolves it. It puts fear back in its place. When we are loved, it gives us the freedom to fail, to make mistakes, and to also do our best, because there's no fear of failure, no fear of rejection. We just go out there and we live life to the fullest when we're free of fear within our own lives. That's why it's so important we discover God's love for us, because then we are truly free to become who God has called us to be. The third principle we want to catch and we want to write down is discover the depths of God's love. Discover the depths of God's love, and that's part of the Holy Spirit's role, not only to empower us, but help us to understand and grasp the full extent of God's love for us. Until you address the lies within your own head and your own heart, can I just speak to that a minute? How often have you gone through a day or a week and you have these lies within your own heart saying, "I'm not good enough. I'll never be able to do what I'm supposed to do, or what others think that I can do, or what I want to do myself. Or I'm not good enough. I've failed. I'm no good." So we have those lies that bounce around in our head and in our heart, and they hinder us from becoming what God has called us to be. They hinder our dreams, our plans, our goals. And until we deal with those lies, God can't release us to do what we've come, what He's called us to do, how He's wired us to be. And so if we can get a hold of God's love for us and totally understand His unconditional love for us, it'll set us free, and it also deals with those lies that we sometimes speak to ourselves. It puts them to rest. Amen? And someone needed to hear that today. Discover God's love for you. It'll set you free to love others and pursue life in total freedom. It's a huge truth, so don't blow it off. Number four, God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So let's talk about self-discipline just a little bit. Disciplines are established through parenting, right? Parents help their children. They teach them certain disciplines, you know, whether it's how to brush their teeth or sit at a table and eat food. We teach them disciplines. Schools teach disciplines of how to do math and English, the musical arts, and other things. Universities do the same. And being in an organization like the military will put some good discipline within you, right? That will totally change your life. There's other structured systems that teach us disciplines as well. All right? So we need discipline within our life, but the hardest type of discipline is self-discipline, because we are the ones providing the discipline to ourselves. We are the ones that are holding ourselves accountable. President Harry Truman said this about discipline. He said, in reading the lives of great men and women, I think we can include there, I have found that the first victory they won was over themselves. That was the first great victory that they accomplished. And so self-discipline, self-control literally means to get a grip on one's life, to be able to take control of the areas of one's life that will bring health, success, and happiness. And that's sometimes a hard thing to do. Man, so many times we are controlled by our emotions or by our feelings, right? And those things control us instead of we do what is right. And where self-discipline is so important is often we do what is maybe good or bad instead of what is best. That's where self-discipline comes in the role. So the Holy Spirit will empower us with boldness. It'll help us understand the depths of God's love, but also help us in the area of self-discipline. Why is self-discipline so important? Because anything worth doing is uphill. Anything worth doing is uphill. Think about that. Anything worth doing is going to require sacrifice, work, diligence, determination, and grit. Whether it's hiking a mountain or raising kids or starting a new business or fulfilling a dream, it's all uphill. It's not that it's bad. It's just anything worth doing takes sacrifice. As graduates, you have dreams of the next steps that await you, college, a career, family, accomplishments. But as a general rule, those things will not happen on their own. Somebody isn't just going to drop a job into your lap or a degree into your lap. You have to work for those things. You have to work for those accomplishments. So the fourth principle that we want to catch there is uncover the beauty of self-discipline. Uncover the beauty of self-discipline. In his book, Developing the Leader Within You 2.0, so that's the newer version of earlier book, and it's totally different from the Developing the Leader Within You first one. John Maxwell dedicates a chapter just to self-discipline. He calls it the price tag of leadership, self-discipline. And he shares seven principles concerning self-discipline, and I'm not going to go into a lot of depth, but I do want to mention them. And I encourage you, it's a good book and it's a good read. So first of all, he says self-discipline enables you to go uphill. So we already mentioned that. Secondly, self-discipline makes the difference between temporary success or sustained success. In other words, you know, if I have this lump sum of money, like the stimulus money, am I going to go out and spend it, or am I going to put it in the bank and save it for something that I really want down the road? All right? So sometimes it's easy just to go with our emotions or what we want now instead of planning for the future and our future goals. We settle for what is maybe okay instead of settling for what is best down the road, all right? Self-discipline helps us out in that area. Self-discipline makes habit your servant instead of your master. In other words, once I get those disciplines within my own life, they're actually a habit that serves me and blesses my life, all right? Once we get those disciplines, whether it's making your bed, you know, we talked about that, I think, within the last year anyway. There's a great book called that. Those disciplines will serve you well, all right? Self-discipline is developed, not given. In other words, you have to work at it. It's developed in areas of strength and passion, so that's where it's going to really take off if you focus on the areas where that are your strength and your passion. And self-discipline and respect are connected. In other words, with self-discipline comes a sense of respect and for yourself, okay? Think about somebody that's gone through the military, and when they're in their dress-up uniforms and stuff, just the sense of respect and honor that comes with that. The same thing happens when you live your life with discipline. There's respect that comes into your life because of those disciplines, all right? Lastly, self-discipline makes consistency possible, and consistency compounds. It's like money in the bank. It develops a consistent pattern within your life, and those things have compounding interests. It'll pay off in other areas. It leads down the road. Self-control is necessary for spiritual health, physical health, emotional health, success at home, and in life. And the cool thing about it is that it's just not all about you. It's about the Holy Spirit, that God has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us discover God's love, and to help us in this area of discipline within our own life, that He is going to come alongside of us. In John chapter 14 through 16, the Gospel of John, we have some of the best theology on the Holy Spirit. And there the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete in the Greek, okay? The one called alongside to be our helper. And wow, that is so powerful when we look at that he empowers us, that he helps us understand God's love and his truth, and that he also is able to help us in this area of discipline. You know, Paul wanted the best for Timothy, and he wanted him to realize the potential of the gift of God within him. Timothy's confidence was waning due to the challenges he faced that were magnified by his age and his temperament. And Paul says, you know, fan into flame the gift of God in your life. Stoke that spiritual passion for God. Move ahead in God's supernatural power. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Discover the depths of his love and let the Spirit reveal that to you, and let the Holy Spirit help you in that area of discipline. It's not a drudgery. Is that a word, right? It is a blessing to your life. Let it serve you. Let it bless your life. Get those disciplines down early in life, because then they'll serve you later on in life. Amen? So I would like to pray with each of us here today. I want to pray, first of all, for people that if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you say, I need to know God's love. I need to know that maybe I had a faith and it's died down. There's not much there, but I'm going to believe that as God breathes upon it by his Holy Spirit, there's going to be new life. There's going to be a fire that blazes forth from that. And maybe you've just never understood the power of the Holy Spirit to help you, to empower you, to understand God's love and help you in the area of discipline. I'm going to pray for that as well. So would you bow your heads in prayer and let's pray together. Father, you said that if we come to you and we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so right now, dear God, I pray that you would breathe upon us, dear God. And I pray that if anyone is out there and they don't know you as their Lord and their Savior, Lord God, that they can pray and just say, God, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of my unrighteousness, and be my Lord and my Savior. God, you have promised to come in and to dwell within us, place your Spirit in us, Lord God, that we can grow and become who you've called us to be. And Lord God, I pray for our graduates, and I pray for everyone out there listening. Lord God, stir the passion within our own lives. Let your Spirit breathe upon us. I don't know what condition each of our spiritual lives are at, where that passion is at. If we're at a 1 or if we're at a 10 being the highest, I don't know where we're at on that spectrum. But God, breathe upon us. Take us from a 1 to a 5. Take us from a 3 to a 7. Take us from a 7 to a 9 or a 10, dear God. Lord God, breathe upon us. Lord God, place within us boldness, Lord God, your power to help us to do what you've called us to do. Whether it's working in a school, whether it is working at a factory, Lord God, whether it's working within the church, whether it is being a neighbor to somebody across the street, Lord God, empower your people to do the will of God. Help us to understand your love for us, God, so that we can be set free to live our life unabandoned, Lord God, without fear, to do your will and to become the person you've called us to be. And Lord God, let the Holy Spirit help us in the area of discipline, that we can live a life that glorifies you, and that we can reach our full kingdom impact for your glory and for your honor. Father, we give you the thanks. We give you the praise, and we ask it in your name. Amen. 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 Amy's going to lead us in a closing song. I encourage you just to let those words sink in, and I'll come back just for some final words. All right, we can go back again. Amen. Thanks, Amy. Amen. Hey, thanks, Amy, for leading us in that closing song. Hey, just a reminder, next week we will be back online, and then we hope that'll be the 24th, and then on the 31st, just be praying that hopefully we can gather, whether it's outside or in our facility here, that we can gather and worship together. Amen. So looking forward to that. I hope that you have a blessed week. And just Again, our graduates that we honor today, if you want to connect with them on the email that I sent out, I encourage you to send them a card. And if you can bless them with some monetary things that way, that would be a blessing to them as well. So, hey, God bless you. And we hope to see you on Tuesday night, question and answer with myself and on Zoom. I'll send the link out on that. So God bless you and have a great week.